This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. I'm a homeschool father of five. And Steve Vaughn, also in studio with me, homeschool father of six. We're raising our kids out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the slow but steady breakdown of faith, family, and freedom in the Western world. Those that subscribe to the Christian faith, the biblical faith, a basic biblical worldview dropping off like flies over the last 50 years. And George Barna has new stats for us, Steve.
He's always got stats.
Stats. Yeah, he's the guy who monitors the Christian faith and the Christian church in the West.
So any good news this time? He's always been kind of a downer.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a downer again. Again, he's a little bit of a downer. Just appeared on the Dobson Show, and he says only 4% of millennials now hold to a biblical worldview. Just 4%.
4%. Wow.
Yeah.
That's about how many homeschool, isn't it?
That's about the percentage of those in homeschool, yeah.
Yeah, because my kids do.
Yeah, and it could be that this is largely homeschoolers.
Yeah.
We did the test on biblical worldview and found that homeschoolers were upwards of 250% to 300% more likely to hold to a biblical worldview over the counterparts from Christian schools and public schools. So we pulled that out of the Gen 2 survey some 4 years ago. So again, yeah, is the 4% of millennials holding to a biblical worldview, that's all that's left, Is that just those who were homeschooled in the 1990s and early 2000s? I think that's the question for us. And the answer is maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
I'm sure how you'd find that out.
I'm sure there's some in the public school and Christian schools that do.
There might be. But remember, my friends, that those who disciple the kids are those that will inculcate the worldview into them. If they are largely taught and discipled by those who hold to a worldview that is materialistic and anti-supernaturalistic in the public schools, chances are they will believe in evolution. Chances are they will believe in a relativistic view of the world, and they will not believe in God. If they go to a godless school where God is not an issue, where God does not show up in the science class, and God is a non-issue when it comes to what happens in American history and world history, then your children will become naturalistic, materialistic, and humanistic in their worldviews. So if they're discipled by Muslims, chances are they will turn into Muslims. If they are discipled by a worldview that is distinctively humanistic and anti-supernaturalistic and does not allow for God in the science class or history class, they will become humanists, generally speaking. There will be some exceptions to this rule, but that's how to guarantee your children will not continue on in the Christian faith. If they're discipled by those who are committed to a system of thinking that does not incorporate God into history and science, and that, of course, is why we are introducing to the Christian homeschool world and the Christian schooling world a history course and liberal arts courses and literature courses that are saturated with the Word of God and a distinctively Christian worldview. Please, my friends, don't give your children 12 years of the wrong worldview in the curriculum and then hope that somehow a one-week worldview camp will salvage them.
Yeah, I mean, that's biblical, too. I don't remember which book it is, but it says that when a student is fully taught, he will be like his master. And that's exactly what you're saying. When they're taught humanism, they're going to be humanists.
4% of millennials now hold to a biblical worldview per George Barna. 96% of this generation does not believe in absolute truth. Friends, that's where things are today. 4 out of 5 young adults are unsure of their eternal destiny, and so forth and so on. Also, evangelicals aren't doing well. Here's another survey in which Pew Research Center did a survey and found about half of self-identified evangelicals affirm at least one New Age belief like reincarnation or astrology. Half believe in New Age ideologies. Half of evangelicals. Evangelicals make up about 19% of America right now. Half of them believe in New Age thinking. And, of course, half of evangelical millennials are committed to homosexual marriage. So that means, Steve, you've got 6 or 7% left of Americans who still hold to something of a Christian worldview. and probably 3 to 4% of evangelical millennials, or 3 to 4% of American millennials hold to something of a Christian worldview. That's pretty low. I mean, that's the point is, friends, we're looking at these large American churches empty in just the next 10 years or 15 years. You drive by these large churches, as I did this morning as I came back from St. Louis, Missouri. I was taking a drive down into Lambert Airport and passed a number of these churches. I'm thinking to myself, these churches won't be here in 10 to 15 years from now. Why? Because their children are being discipled by Muslims. I mean, humanists in humanist schools. That's why. Well, among self-identified evangelicals, half believe in New Age thinking. 25% believe in reincarnation. 33% believe in psychics. And 24% believe in spiritual energy that can be located within physical things. And there shouldn't be a surprise here, Steve. It's the product of 15 years of 20-minute self-help sermons on Sundays. You follow me?
Yeah.
They're just not getting it. They're not getting the worldview. They're not getting the thesis against the antithesis. You're not going to salvage young people who are getting 60, 70, 80, 90 hours a week of humanist, materialistic media. Hollywood, Nashville, and, of course, their public school indoctrination. And then you're trying to salvage something with a 20-minute self-help sermon on a Sunday morning in your little evangelical church. I'm sorry, your evangelical megachurch? I don't think that's going to happen.
No. My wife has been, when she's gone to visit family, if she's there on a Sunday, she'll try to find a church. And there's been times that she's had to go to two or three services just to find one that actually preaches something. But they'll leave, and my daughters will go, okay, so what was that about? I don't know. Let's go somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, friends, don't be fooled by these large evangelical churches around the metro areas. The tare-to-wheat ratio very high if they're not discipling the nations, if they're not discipling them in the Word of God, if they're not rooting and grounding them in the truth against all of the deceptions that are constantly being poured into their brains through the mass media and other elements of American culture. Faith could be considered like a building. You could have the wrong foundation, the wrong structure, but a little Jesus magnet on your fridge somewhere on the 20th floor. That doesn't make the building Christian. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
When you've got the wrong foundation, you've got the wrong, structure, but you've got a Jesus magnet showing up on your fridge on the 20th floor. That doesn't make the building Christian. So again, the analogy is, if your life is not rooted and grounded in the Word of God, a little Jesus magnet on the fridge of your life is not going to salvage things.
Yeah, that makes total sense.
Yeah.
I love that analogy. I love work pictures like that.
Yeah, I just came up with this in the morning. I hope it works. But it is, I think, ultimately the reason why the average evangelical is moving towards New Age thinking and incorporates New Age thinking into the panoply of their random thoughts and their random perspectives is because they're postmodern relativists. It's exactly the Barna issue that was brought out. They don't believe in absolute truth, and so they believe they can hold to any kind of a random thought or random concept, and it really doesn't matter.
As long as they have a cross around their neck and a Jesus magnet.
Right, and whatever is true for you is true for you, and whatever is true for me is true for me. That's relativism, and that's the zeitgeist. That's the spirit of the age. That's the worldview that is inculcated into the minds of millions upon millions upon millions of evangelical youth. But here's the problem with that. Before we take the break, here's the problem with that. When you say A is true for you and not A is true for me, it doesn't make sense, Steve. Most people aren't true to this anyway. They're not consistent to the relativistic thinking. Okay, let's say A is stealing your car stereo.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay.
So, stealing your car stereo, Steve, is right for me. Not stealing your car stereo is right for you. Do you agree with that? Nobody's going to agree with that.
No.
Nobody wants their car stereo ripped off. Well, if I came to you and said, Steve, I think this is true for me. I can run around stealing all your stuff. In fact, I'm going to go into your truck this afternoon, and I'm going to rip off your car stereo and take your hubcaps. Because that's the right thing for me to do. Now, I realize that you don't believe that's the right thing to do. And I respect that, Steve. You see, but
yeah,
the average person is inconsistent on these things. They're
right.
Not going to be consistent on their relativistic way of thinking concerning ethics and truth.
Yeah, I've told people who have said that to me, well, then let's open up all the prison doors.
Yeah.
Because what they did was right for them. And if you were to ask them, none of them are guilty. I mean, so it was okay for them to do that. Otherwise, we wouldn't have done it.
Why are 50% of evangelicals New Agey in their thinking? That's the question. It's because they're relativistic in their thinking. But here's the problem. People who believe in reincarnation cannot believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus beat death. And reincarnation teaches that we have to die thousands and thousands and thousands of times. That's a bummer of a worldview, Steve.
Yes, it is.
I mean,
yes,
I'm bummed out about dying once. I don't want that. Thanks be to God, Jesus Christ is risen from the dead.
Amen.
And we will be resurrected with him. Praise God.
He is the resurrection and the life.
That doctrine ain't reincarnation. And they are not compatible doctrines. Christians who don't believe that Christ rose from the dead, they're not Christians. Plain and simple. They're just not Christians. And as we face death, we do so with confidence that our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again to save us from death and sin and judgment. And we're holding to that with tenacity and faith as we walk into the valley of the shadow of death ourselves. That's basic to our faith. Forget reincarnation. Forget the satanic, deceitful doctrines of the New Age thinking. Friends, I'm sorry, you can't believe in A and not A at the same time. It just can't happen. And one's true and the other isn't. We'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations Broadcast. Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about one-third of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at one-third the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. And we are back on the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Steve Vaughn also in studio. This time as we address a Christian worldview in relation to animals. These liberal organizations like the Episcopal organization is increasingly offering what they call blessing for the animals. And even baptisms for the animals. Have you heard of this?
Oh, yeah. I actually had a patient about 10, 12 years ago that had a little puppy that he took in. He was an Episcopal person, and he took his dog in to get baptized at his church. Now, the pastor questioned him and said, you know, why are you doing this? He said, well, I want my dog to be with me when I die in heaven. And so the pastor, although he was a little bit hesitant, went ahead and did it.
Oh, boy. That takes the whole pedo question to a whole new level.
Yes, it does.
Puppies in the baptismal services. And their prayer sessions for dead pets, as well as one minister said this, how wonderful to think of all animals as our brothers and sisters. See, again, there's something wrong here. There's the wrong anthropology, the idea of who we are. the explanation for who man is and what man is and how man was created by God for certain purposes, all of these basic worldview perspectives are gone in the minds of much of the modern church. And they are replaced with just sort of that naturalistic, materialistic worldview and the evolutionary worldview that would see ourselves to be connected with the animals, as the environmentalists and the evolutionists have done for the last number of years. Christians are doing the very same thing now, especially amongst some of these more liberal denominations. And these churches are wandering in the wasteland of postmodern, post-Christian meaninglessness, and they have lost the concept of a proper Christian anthropology. How did God create humans different than animals? He breathed in them the breath of life, and man was created in the image of God. And after the image of God, created he man. That's far different than how he created the animal world. And so, again, as Christians, we come at environmentalism, we come at the entire world, and we look at it differently. Why? Because we have a different view of God, of truth, of anthropology, of sociology, of what God has said and how he's defined the terms for us. And only a creator could give us a proper sense of who we are and our relationship with the world around us. Otherwise, Steve, it's all chaos.
Oh, yeah. It ends up flipping the created order on its head, where man is at the lowest end of the, at least the animal order, depending on who the people are that are thinking this, and then everything else is above us. But God created us at the end to show that we were the pinnacle of creation and gave man dominion over all of the earth, all the animals, all the plants. And so we have dominion. Not the animals.
And we have dogs in the house.
Oh, yeah.
You've seen our dogs.
Oh, lots of them.
Like, you just saw a dog in the house, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What are these dogs doing in the house? What are these animals? They're marvelous creation of God.
Yes,
they're creatures
they are.
Of God. We're amazed at these creatures of God.
Yeah, dogs, maybe not cats, though. But dogs are creatures.
Well, yeah, you might make an exception for some cats, yeah. But these are marvelous creatures of God, and we need to acknowledge that. But when there's less acknowledgement of the Creator, then there is an unhealthy acknowledgement of the created, and confusion results. And I think that's what's going on here. The less and less God is worshipped, God is acknowledged, God's truth is received, and God is acknowledged as the only true and living God, and his revelation, the only true revelation for us, the less and less God is worshipped, the more and more the creature is treated in the wrong sense, and the creature is acknowledged in the wrong way. And that's what's going on with the folks that are taking their pets in for the blessing and for the baptisms.
Yeah, and a lot of this also, I think, comes down to relationship. Because people do not know how to have relationships with other people. They think that social media relationships are really them, but it's a lot easier to have a relationship with a dog. It's a lot easier to have that be your comfort thing.
Well, and I think that's the direction that the modern liberal church has gone, because the modern liberal church is ministering to those who have abandoned God. They've abandoned his truth. They've abandoned relationship in a postmodern wasteland of a derelationalized lifestyle. And again, a lot of this is due to the breakdown of relationship generation after generation after generation, where there's no repentance.
Yeah.
For those that have broken their relationship, their marriage relationships, and their relationships with their kids, and there's been early emancipations because there are broken relationships between teenage kids and their parents, and on and on and on it goes, generation after generation after generation, until we live in the loneliest time in all of human history. In fact, his big article came out this morning, Steve, "Loneliness is the Emerging Public Health Threat Worldwide." The most recent survey from The Economist and Kaiser Family Foundation found 9% of adults in Japan, 22% in America, 23% in Britain are always or often clinically lonely and lacking companionship. That's almost a quarter of the population lacking companionship, always lonely. And another study of 20,000 U.S. adults, 18 and older, published in May by Cigna and market research firm Ipsos, reveals nearly half of American adults reported sometimes or always feeling alone. Half of American adults lonely. Americans, British people, twice as lonely as the Japanese. Modern man has increasingly become the vagabond. He's becoming increasingly lonely. His relationships have broken down. Every generation worse than the previous one. John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men, classic.
Yes.
Now, I wouldn't recommend a read on this. I do a thorough analysis of it in Worldviews and Conflict, our 12th grade literature class. I do the same thing in the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West. I cover John Steinbeck and Ernest Hemingway and their powerful writings in which they depict the Christian, post-Christian wasteland east of Eden. And, of course, John Steinbeck was a master in defining this post-Christian wasteland where relationships was destroyed. And there was Cain wandering east of Eden. He destroyed relationship by killing his brother, became a vagabond in the earth, created the anonymous city, and wandered east of Eden. And this is precisely what is going on with a majority of modern man in a postmodern wasteland east of Eden. Now, John Steinbeck's characters, in all of his writings,
yeah,
not just Of Mice and Men, but all of his writings, his characters are distant and isolated from each other. There's a coldness. There's a hermetically sealed separation from each other. And you get this. I mean, he's a master in presenting these derelationalized characters that have very little connection with each other because they live in a completely isolated sort of existence, wandering as vagabonds east of Eden. That's what John Steinbeck was good at. He was good at presenting what the world would look like over the last 100 years. And of course, now things are 100 times worse than they were in the 1920s and 1930s when John Steinbeck wrote his prophetic books Of Mice and Men and others. And, of course, in Of Mice and Men, you remember the only friends left are mangy dogs and dead mice. And that was the whole point. The mentally challenged young man had the dead mouse, which is his pet, and the other cowboy had the mangy old dog, which, of course, somebody shot him in the head, because that's what you do as you destroy relationships in a postmodern wasteland. It was a horrible story, absolutely horrible story. And, of course, at the end of A Mice and Men, Lenny puts a bullet through the head of his only friend. And that's exactly what happens, my friends, in this world of divorce. That's exactly what happens in this world in which we kill relationship again and again and again and again. As the modern man is wandering east of Eden with John Steinbeck's friends.
Yeah, and you brought up one of the greatest countries to bring up, which was Japan. And it is estimated that this year, 30,000 Japanese will die alone. It is so bad there that they actually have an entire industry that they've had to create to where people will actually go into houses that are now reeking of death to clean up the houses after these 30,000 people die alone.
That's so sad. And this, of course, is what characterizes postmodern life. The postmodern ideas that destroyed relationship and brought thorough relativism into the modern mind has been utterly destructive to human society. Now you say, well, how does this tie into the rise of pets? Well, again, these churches are celebrating the impoverishment of a dead and dying culture where man has turned into a vagabond. And all he has left is his pets. Now, again, this is not everybody. But this is the general trend. There's a reason why the pet industry is 10 times what it was 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Steve?
Yeah.
There's a reason why our extremely relationalized homeschool family economies are raising puppies and selling them at $1,000 a pup to a very lonely world. Well, thankfully, you know, we have these warm and wonderful family economies where we raise the pets for others who need companionship in a lost and lonely world. And of course, my encouragement, friends, let's restore relationship. And
yes,
the only way
yeah.
to do that is by the reconciling work of Jesus Christ. Because, see, if we're not reconciled to God, then we can't be reconciled to our brothers and sisters and our husbands and wives. So the modern world busts up its relationships in its families and its churches again and again and again and again and again. Why do they do this so habitually? Because they are wandering east of Eden and they need to come to Calvary. And at Calvary, we are reconciled to God. And then we're reconciled across the boundaries where Jew and Gentile and everybody else restores relationship, and we are reconciled to each other.
Yeah, it's interesting that the very first time that God said that something was not good was because it was that it is not good for man to be alone. And he had all of those animals. He even had a relationship with God himself. But God designed us to be in a human relationship with each other. That's why he created Eve, why he created woman to be the completer of man, to be his helpmate, to walk side by side into life together.
And I think the conclusion to this, Steve, is that by the grace of God and by the intervention of Jesus, our great peace, our great reconciler, we will see marriages restored.
Yes.
We see marriages unified. And Jesus has restored our relationship, my wife and me. I've seen our relationship improve over the years. Our communication is improving. Our relationship with our daughters improving. Why? Because Jesus. Jesus does that. It's nothing natural in me. It's not like I'm some kind of relational guy. You know me.
Yeah.
I'm not a relational guy.
I barely know you.
I know. I'm not a relational guy.
Yeah.
But, you know, praise God, our daughters are with us.
Yeah.
They're 18 to 25 years of age, and they're with us. People say, that's odd.
Yeah.
You know, I sit next to people on these planes, and they say, you know, how many daughters? You have four daughters. They live with us. They're 18 to 25. What? They're living with you still? That's right. Our daughters haven't emancipated at 18 years of age. Because generally they enjoy being here. They enjoy their relationships with their own siblings. We don't break relationship. We maintain relationship. Now, of course, there are some exceptions to that rule, but as family relationships are restored and there's love for one another, our kids aren't seeking out isolation. See, the modern world seeks out isolation more so in apartments. You know what an apartment is, don't you?
Yeah.
Where you live apart from each other. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's very big. It was very, very big in the postmodern wasteland. I'm not saying that everybody living in apartments are living apart from each other. I'm just saying that was the worldview that brought about the apartment revolution. Very high walls between each other, and people don't visit with each other on the front porch as much. Well, there are no front porches.
That's right.
there are some back porches, but you don't visit on back porches.
Yeah.
So there's isolation in the apartments. There's isolation in living apart from each other, as far as the modern worldview of isolation goes. But friends, that's not our worldview. Our worldview brings relationship back to the family. And emancipation is less and less, and family relationships more and more. And then, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his own wife. And there will be less and less of the age of isolation, the age of emancipation, and the age of unaccountability, where there's very little spiritual accountability going on with these young people. Friends, we're talking about a re-relational life in a de-relationalized age, and it can happen. Get a copy of the book Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, to better understand what has happened in a postmodern, de-relationalized, relativistic world. Get your worldview down straight. Contrast the world of John Paul Sartre and the world of Friedrich Nietzsche with the world of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to find two radically different worlds. Get a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, at our website, kevinswanson.com and generations.org. If you'd like multiple copies, I encourage you to grab multiple copies for your kids and grandkids, especially those who are in high school or college and are interacting with the ideas that will either make or break them. Get a copy of Apostate, The Men Who Destroyed the Christian West, at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.